Hello, and welcome to the podcast for TheForce.net. My name is Eric, and I'm your host, bringing you a special spoiler-filled supplement to the normal podcast episode. This is the second of two files for today, the first one containing the weekend's news stories. So if you didn't catch the first file, make sure you go back and grab it too. Now, I've gotten a lot of requests for an additional podcast series, one filled with spoilers. Now, we've only got about a month left before the film comes out, and there's not really any news about spoilers anymore, so we can't really sustain a second podcast series. However, we can do an individual spoiler-filled episode or two. So, this is your first, last, and only warning. This episode you're listening to contains spoilers. Major spoilers. If you don't want to hear about spoilers, skip this episode now. Now, like I said, there's not really much news on spoilers anymore at this point in the game. We've really only got three main things: the novel, the comic book, and some information that was in the making of book regarding some cutscenes. There are also spoilers in the other books that were released earlier this month, as well as in some of the action figures. But for the most part, it's all about the novel and the comic book at this point. Now, we're in the end game for spoilers. We got through the rumor mill, we got a little bit more with the trailers, and now we're at the merchandise release. So the only thing left really is the movie itself. And, of course, Lucas can make changes to it right up until the last minute, so there's no way to know for certain whether certain things will be in the final cut. Rick McCallum has apparently stated that there have already been some changes made since the novel and the screenplay have come out, and that Vader will have a few more scenes in the movie now than what was originally planned in the screenplay. And it's also been said that Padme's funeral will be extended by a couple of minutes, and will include several more characters. Now, I noticed that on the forums, many people have assumed that this means Vader will be attending Padme's funeral. I seriously doubt that. I mean, for all we know, he's still on the operating table at that point. It'd be a better argument that Palpatine, now Emperor, would attend the funeral. But I'm not even really convinced that'll happen. I'm sure it's just more senators and other secondary characters. Probably, you know, the Queen, Boss Nass, people like that. I wouldn't get your hopes up. Now, in other changes, I remember a while back there was a spoiler that Shaak-Ti, one of the female Jedi, had been captured by Grievous and was executed as Obi-Wan and Anakin first walked in on Grievous. Now, it appears that scene has been cut. I don't know if the movie will specifically deal with her death, but in the novel, she's now one of the first Jedi to be killed by Anakin during the Purge of the Temple. Now, I don't want to sound sadistic, but I kind of like the original plan. I mean, frankly, I'm surprised it was even going to be considered for the movie, since it's obviously pretty violent. But there are ways it could have been done without the scene being too graphic, and I think it would have made Grievous look a lot more challenging to Obi-Wan and Anakin. And that's another thing. Obi-Wan tracks Grievous to Utapau, and they've got a big fight scene there. Now, the comic book makes it look like it's maybe about 10 seconds long. Okay, well, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but still, the comic book makes it look really short. And the book has a lot more going on, but I'm concerned about how much of it will actually make it into the film. But the part that concerns me the most is the four lightsaber thing. Okay, with Darth Maul, you had a two-on-one fight, and the Sith had a double-ended lightsaber. I mean, how cool is that? That was the single coolest lightsaber battle in a Star Wars film yet. And now we've got a bad guy who's killed several Jedi and has his own collection of lightsabers, and he can wield four of them at the same time. And the book and the comic book both indicate that the first thing that happens when he does is that he loses two of his hands. I mean, come on, that's all we get? I don't know. I'm hoping that the scene turns out to be really cool. I believe the scene will turn out to be really cool. I just wish I were more confident in that belief. There's also been some talk about what exactly it is Anakin does to Padme on Mustafar. In the comic book, he lifts her up in the air with a force choke, and then he throws her against the wall. This has been rumored to be in the film for quite some time, too, although I've also heard that now he just chokes her and drops her. In the book, the details are a little bit more ambiguous. Now, this is obviously a very delicate subject. I mean, there are some things that are just taboo to do in a film. For example, you don't show graphic abuse toward pets like dogs or cats. You can imply abuse, you can show the before and after, but you can't actually show it being done. That's a no-no. Brutal violence from an adult toward a child, that's another thing. I'm not saying it's never done, but it's something that's not done too often, not graphically anyway, And when it is done, it's dealt with very carefully. So is George Lucas, who keeps calling this a kid series, going to show a husband lifting his pregnant wife into the air, choking her into unconsciousness, then throwing her against a rock wall, resulting in her eventual death? I don't know. I mean, that's some pretty extreme spousal abuse there. And technically child abuse, too. I mean, yeah, it's got a PG-13 rating, but the scene at the end with the limbless Anakin with both his arms and legs cut off could justify that in itself. I mean, yeah, I know he's still got the robotic arm, but still. I don't know. We'll have to see when the movie actually comes out, I guess, how that scene turns out. Another thing I wish I knew more about was what happens on Kashyyyk after Order 66 is given. I mean, the book covers absolutely nothing that takes place on Kashyyyk, and the comic book covers very, very little. And that's fine. I mean, most of the battle on Kashyyyk is going to be eye candy anyway, and I think it'll be a fun segment of the film. But there was a rumor at one point that after Order 66 is given, and the clones turn on all the Jedi, that Yoda disguises himself by perching on the shoulder of one of the Wookiees as if he's a pet and acting all crazy and stuff. And then it's rumored that he farts. Now, I'm already confused as to what Lucas was thinking with all the poodoo jokes in Episode 1. And not just the poodoo comments, but, I mean, Jar Jar steps in a pile of it on Tatooine, and then immediately after that, R2-D2 rolls through it and gets him caught in his wheel. And then later, one of the creatures either farts or, well, poops, and that's supposed to be funny. I don't get it. And now Yoda, the most well-respected and dignified Jedi Master in the history of all things Star Wars, farts on screen. I don't know, I'm really hoping that that was just a rumor and that it doesn't come true. Still, after the jokes in Episode 1, I wonder. Some of the cutscenes I've been looking at, I'm wondering if maybe they shouldn't have left in. For example, the one where Obi-Wan talks to Padme about how he's worried about Anakin. Now, this is also where he reveals to her that he already knows that they're in love. I think that would have been good to leave in. I think it would have really explained more about what's going on with Obi-Wan. I also like the idea of Padme being the one to present the petition to Chancellor Palpatine. On the surface, things like this would seem wise to cut because they'd slow the pacing of the movie down. However, we all saw what kind of effect that had in Episode 2. And I'm not saying these are bad choices, I'm just saying that they concern me. Now, the other things on the list didn't bother me as much. For example, you know, if they show Yoda on Dagobah, even just for a second, it doesn't bother me that much that they're cutting the scene where he actually lands there. I mean, given the buildup of the final duel and everything that has to be done right after that, you know, you don't want to drag the movie on too much farther than it's actually necessary. So, having said all those things so far, I really am confident that this is going to be an incredible movie, and that most fans might even consider this their favorite movie of the entire series, even if the other two prequels still remain at the bottom of their list. I mean, some of my friends don't listen to me anymore when I tell them how great this movie's going to be, because I said the same thing about Episodes 1 and 2, and I got burned on each of those. So I've been a lot more skeptical about this one, but I stand by what I said. Not only do I think that this movie is going to be good, I think it will be one of the best in the entire series. I think a lot of what will make or break this movie, aside from any potential editing issues, will be how certain critical scenes are done. As I said in a prior podcast episode, there's so much mental conflict and political manipulation going on here, it's difficult to portray that in a movie, and it'll have to be done quickly in some scenes. It'll all depend on the dialogue, the directing, and the performance of the actors. Now, the first such critical scene is going to be where Obi-Wan and Anakin both confront Dooku. If the book is any indication, this has the potential to be either very cool or very cheesy. And I hope the actual battle itself is better than it was in Episode 2. I think it will be, but I think that's also going to lend a lot to this scene. The next critical scene will be between Anakin and Padme, where she reveals to him that she's pregnant. And there are a couple of other similar scenes later in the film between those two that will also have to work out well. That's a focal point of the movie. It's not that Anakin is concerned with Padme or worried for her. It's that he's obsessed with her and scared out of his mind of losing her. And that's what Palpatine uses to pull him to the dark side. So the interaction between Padme and Anakin really needs to work in this film. Obi-Wan's conflict between doing the right thing and protecting his friend is also critical. The scene with him in front of the Jedi Council, as well as the now potentially cut scene between him and Padme, these are important in establishing the fact that Obi-Wan actually cares about Anakin, not just as a teacher or even as a friend, but as a brother. He actually loves Anakin, and the better that comes across in the movie, the more tragic and heart-stopping the final duel will be. I don't necessarily think that the scene where Mace Windu and the other three Jedi arrest Palpatine is critical, but it's going to be very memorable, so it'd be nice if it were actually done well, so people will remember it as being good. I've always felt that Samuel Jackson has kind of tried too hard in the first two films. I'd love for this scene to be really good, and I hope it is, but this scene is probably going to be either the second or the third most memorable scene in the film, and for that reason, it's critical that it's done well. Now, some may argue that the confrontation between Yoda and Palpatine should be on this list too, but I really don't think there's a way they're going to screw that up. I'm really only trying to list the scenes that are important, yet could go either way. And I don't foresee any problems with this scene. I think this scene's going to go pretty smoothly. While the duel itself is important, I think the critical scene, perhaps the most critical scene in the entire movie, will be the verbal confrontation between Obi-Wan and Anakin just before the final duel. As somebody pointed out, I think it was maybe in the forums, without the emotional conflict between Anakin and Obi-Wan, the final duel is really just an expensive scene from a video game. Yeah, the choreography is going to be sweet, but this fight is the culmination of the entire prequel trilogy. Though one could argue it happens when Anakin purges a temple, I say his final step to the dark side is here. This is where he turns on his friend, his brother. And not just to show anger, but to utterly destroy him. This is the last chance for Anakin, and he steps over that line. And the loss of that bond is tragic, and yet we don't even have time to mourn that loss. Anakin's too busy trying to kill Obi-Wan. So this is supposed to be the single most emotional, heart-wrenching scene in the entire series. That's a lot of pressure. And then finally, I think the last critical scene that's going to make or break the movie is going to be the scene where Vader rises in his new armor and Palpatine tells him that in his anger he killed Padme. Obviously, the mask can't portray any emotion, and it's easy to overact when you're using body language. So I think a lot of this is going to rest on the timing of the dialogue, how the scream is done, and the musical score. If this comes across as cheesy, it's going to hurt the entire movie. Now again, I'm not trying to be a naysayer. I'm not saying these scenes will be bad. I'm just saying that considering how the other two prequels have gotten trashed by the critics and the average moviegoers, that these scenes are the focal points. There's going to be a lot of cool stuff in this movie. The final duel is going to be sweet. So is the battle where Obi-Wan kills Grievous. I think that the fight between Palpatine and Yoda might be a little bit short, but what there will be is going to be awesome. And the battle on Kashyyyk is going to be great, and the opening space battle will easily be the best thing we've seen so far in a Star Wars movie, as far as space battles go. I've seen much of the footage, and it looks incredible. But perhaps the coolest thing about this movie is that it's the last piece of the puzzle. Within minutes of finishing the audiobook, I was ready to whip out the original trilogy DVDs and rewatch them. Perhaps this won't come across well in the movie, but in the book we get a very clear glimpse of Anakin's motivations. See, he has a vision in a dream that Padme will die during childbirth, and then he learns that Palpatine can extend life using the dark side of the Force. But Palpatine is a Sith Lord, and therefore is evil. But Anakin thinks he's above such things. He's not evil. He plans to learn the secret of extending life, then to defeat Palpatine, and then to rule the galaxy with Padme. She'll lead, and then he'll, well, basically be the general of her armies or something. But that's his motivation. He wants to rule the galaxy with Padme, after ridding them of Darth Sidious. But then he loses her. But then later on, he finds that there's, well, a new hope, if you will, his son. And so he makes that same offer to Luke in Return of the Jedi. Join me and we will rule the galaxy as father and son. At the time, it just merely seemed like Vader wanted a promotion within the Empire. But now, Vader's motivations in that scene in Return of the Jedi are a lot more clear. Anyway, that's part of what makes this movie cool. Not just what's in the movie, but what we can now see in the other movies. There's one other thing I'd like to mention in closing. Palpatine explains that the Sith know how to extend life in others, but not in themselves. And Yoda learns from Qui-Gon that through the light side, life can be extended, but only for oneself. So the side of the Force that caters to greed can only extend the life of others, something that would seem compassionate. And yet the side of the Force that caters to compassion can extend only the life of themselves, something that would seem greedy. Interesting, huh? Anyway, that's all for now. I hope you enjoyed the spoiler episode of the podcast. As always, feel free to email me with any questions, comments, or feedback. You can reach me at podcast@theforce.net. Keep in mind that any spoilers I've mentioned here are subject to change, and that the opinions expressed in this podcast are my own, and they do not reflect the opinions of any other TFN staff members, nor that of Lucasfilm. TheForce.net is not affiliated with Lucasfilm in any way. Take care, and may the Force be with you.